you would be this morning, finding your Bible, Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. So Friday I attended a funeral for a Brother Eugene Carter. And Brother Eugene Carter, from the first day I met him, made a profound impact on me. He made a just such a impact. He was a teacher at my school I go to. And I can remember listening to him pray. He was one of those guys that spoke about God with just such reverence that you knew that he spent a lot of time with him. He's one of those guys that just saying God wasn't enough. He made God a two-syllable word. He said, God. He said, Jesus. And he made it a three, you know what I'm saying? He couldn't get enough out of the name of God. And I remember listening and pray one time, and I said, that man sounds like he's climbed up right in the lap of the Father and put his arm around his neck and is just talking to him. So I want to learn from this guy. I want to know what he knows. I was just, what a compliment that is, to live a life where people watch you and say, I'm envious of the relationship you have with God. And I watched Brother Eugene, and he was just such an encouragement. I never saw the man ever speak down or ever get discouraged or about anything. And up until he was kidneys started to fail, and he was right there at school teaching. And I mean, it was 3 weeks from when he was at school teaching to when he was finally going home with hospice to die. When I think of that, I think about the impact that we leave on other people. I think about a lasting legacy that we impress upon people, and the people start to ponder those things, and that we're remembered from time on and many years down the road. But you know, living for this life makes us want to be remembered. What I mean is, we really, really want to be remembered. Like we claw to try to be remembered, to try to leave an impact. And a lot of things that happen out in the world are because we're so badly wanting to not be forgotten. We're so badly wanting to carve our own path. We're wanting to do our own thing. We're wanting to mark our individualism in some way. That's why our graveyards are full of these monuments, these great monuments. That's why people spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on how someone is entombed. That's why we got closets and attics full of trophies that we won't throw away. Ribbons from county fairs. Because we don't want to be forgotten. We don't want to feel like we just slip away in the minds of someone, of our children or our grandchildren. But I was talking with a brother who I dearly, dearly love. And he reminded me something. He said, Jamie, he said, you could be forgotten in a generation. I got to thinking about it. A wibble. I got to thinking about it. It's hard to remember the last president, right? Even if he did a really, really good job. It's hard to remember. You know, my mother had a profound impact on my life. My children know very little about her. Now, that's my own fault, but my children can't tell you anything about her except that she was a nice woman, that I loved her. One generation. The idea of yourself removed. So I got to thinking. I got to think about great men in the Bible. Thinking about Moses, who led the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of their slavery. And God did mighty wonders among them. Mighty, mighty wonders among the children of Israel. He sent plagues down on Egypt. to the Pharaoh, ones that can't deny. Everyone saw it. Terrible plagues came down on Egypt. For the Pharaoh had to let him go. When he let him go, God led him through a parting on the water, a parting on the Red Sea. Then they got to the desert, and God fed them and watered them in the desert. These men lived in the substance of God. They were able to visibly see and watch God do miraculous things in front of their eyes and seeing God's hand that without God, they would have perished, they would have never existed, nothing would have ever come to be. They were able to watch God deliver them. Now, Moses passes away. And I can't say Moses is forgotten because Moses is chronicled in the Bible and we study him every day. But Moses isn't us. You and I won't be written in this book. Joshua was a great leader. When Moses died, Joshua rose up and the children of Israel, then they get across this river Jordan. God dries the ground up and the men walk across on dry ground. They come to the city of Jericho where God levels the city walls. And they get in countless skirmishes and wars and fights and God gives them victory time and time again to where the children of Israel are able to seize this land, this promised land that God had promised them. These obstacles were so great in these men's lives. They had no choice but to completely rely on God. The obstacles were so great, so numerous, they outnumbered them, they had no choice but to completely trust and rely on God. But then, all this, I was led to a piece of Scripture. I was just thinking about these things, thinking about wanting to be remembered. Thinking about all the things that God had done for the children of Israel. Can't deny Him if He wanted to. Right in front of their face. But let's look at what we read in Judges 2, verse 8. And it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, Timnath-Serah, and in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gash." And listen to this. Oh, this is what I want you to catch. "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel." Tell me, how is it possible? Think about it for a minute. How is it possible? How could someone who was delivered time and time again where the things that they had were of course not their own? There's no way they could have done it on their own. They were living in the promised land, the land that God has given them. How could they possibly forget? How could they forget God? Their whole purpose of being. The whole reason why they were separated out of the land of Egypt. How can they forget God? I got to thinking, if you can forget the Almighty God, I sure can be forgotten. You and I can sure be forgotten. Now, the Bible doesn't really tell us why they didn't remember God. But I get to wondering if they just got too busy. I wonder if they just got to just where they were just fighting and doing the fighting, the skirmishing and taking over town to town, and just kind of moving through, and they just got really, really busy and they got really good at winning. They were just winning and they just forgot that God was bringing them the victory. Do you do the same thing ever? Do you ever just get busy and you get to doing things and life just starts getting that winning hand and you call it luck, but you forget that God has given you the victory? They just forget. Then we get this next generation. And what are they able to do? This next generation are able to come in and they're able to reap the benefits of the hard work of their fathers before them. They're able to sit back and they look at those memorial stones that were laid at the banks of the Jordan River, and they saw them. Those stones were supposed to be a memorial of what God, that God led them into the promised land. And they walked by and said, man, those are good looking stones. Someone must have placed them here. But somebody had forgotten to tell the children. Forgotten to pass on the word. This is what God had done. This is what God has done for us. You can walk by the city of Jericho, I'm sure, and the ruins and the walls just flattened in the rubble. Something happened here. Something miraculous has happened here. But was there a voice? Was there anyone out there telling the children, God did this? Or did all of a sudden did they start to inherit this history where the Jews were these mighty people and they were doing it without God? I'm not sure. The Bible doesn't tell us. But someone had dropped the baton. Someone in the race, in the relay, did not hand it off. They did not tell the next generation of this almighty God that had delivered them and had done all these mighty things. Think about that for a minute. Think about what it'd be like to live in a land and houses you didn't have to build. They walked into an inhabited land. People there that were hostile to them, and God gave them victory, and they were able to move right in houses. They were able to take the people out of that land. They were able to take their possessions, their things, their vineyards that were sitting there that were full of fruits and different things. They were able to sit back and reap the benefits of crops they didn't even plant. Think about the impact that would have. Think about what it'd be like to rest in peace and security that you never had to lift a finger to procure yourself. And put down that they had the time to pursue their pleasures instead of pursuing God. And before we know it, their pleasures became their God. Having pleasure in this life became their God. Am I just talking about the children of Israel right now? I'm not. Sometimes our pleasures become our God. We get so busy pursuing the pleasures of our life that we forget about Him. And when we do that, when we forget about Him, those pleasures become the number one thing. He becomes our God. Anything in this mind, if you were to sit there and tell me what the thing is that you're thinking about right now that you wish you were out here doing instead of being here, that will be your God that I'm talking about. This will be the thing I'm talking about right now. If there's something you were able to hold in one hand and it was something that you liked a whole lot and God was to reach down and say, I want to take that from you, but you would close your hand, that will be your God. That will be the thing that you put before Him. Think about what that thing is to you today. But overnight, God, who is the basis of our history, was in one swoop eradicated from their history. Like they were trying to rewrite their history. You know, I see that today. I see that in the textbooks of our children at school. I see that in our city courthouses. Trying to eradicate, trying to move out the name of God. I could quote the same verse, Judges 2:10. I could quote the same verse, but replace the name. Listen to this. And after all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who knew not the Lord, nor yet the works for which He had done for America. There's no mention nowadays of the grand prayer meetings that our forefathers had before they ever started a revolution. Or once they founded the nation, they had great prayer meetings. And they had these declarations, not declarations of independence, but they also had declarations of dependence on God. Amen. That this country was to survive, it had to be founded on God. In God we trust. One nation under God. We had a radical dependence on God at one point in time. But now we seek to rewrite our history, to move the God out of our history that formed the nation, that blessed the nation. When you look at Israel, it is so hard to isolate them. There are groups of people that look at them and they think of these Jews as some type of that they're unthinkable, the things they did. If we were followers, if we were put in the same position, we would have never done to God the way they did. We are the nation of Israel. We do the same things they do. We're guilty of the same things. We're guilty of the same things of moving God out. Every time that God gives us and delivers us, we forget about Him. And then our nation gets so poor and spiritually bankrupt. We haven't seen it yet, but this is the cycle that we're getting into. Our nation's getting ready to become so poor and spiritually bankrupt, people are going to start crying out to God, asking God to deliver us and to help us. And Lord willing, He does. Lord willing, He restores the church to a powerful place. The people start coming. They start knowing this is where the truth is, and a great revival sweeps the nation. That's what I pray for. That's what I hope happens. But we'll see. We'll see. How can we see? How can we see to it that the next generation loves the Lord and knows Him? I don't think fully we can, because God is a personal thing. I can't pass on my faith to anyone no more than I can pass on my patience, which I don't have any, but if I had some, I couldn't pass it on. I can't pass on my faith. But what we can do is we can hand down our values. Our values can outlive us. Our values can transcend time. You know, my father tried to instill a good work ethic in me. He couldn't give me his work ethic. He wanted to. He wanted to real bad when I was about 10 years old. He wanted me to take the postal diggers and just go to it. But it took time. It took time, and it wasn't until I was 16, 17 years old and being exposed to it time and time again. And my dad putting me in situations and showing me where work ethic pays off and where other men would respect you if you work really, really hard. And hard work is the answer to a lot of problems that a lot of people face. By telling me those things, he never made me to have work ethic, but what he did is he showed me the values, and I seen the value in it, and it was there. And if I wanted it, I could go after it, but if I didn't want it, it was there for me to walk away from. I had to consciously turn on that value and say, I don't see any use in that. It's not just through our families, though. It's not the only thing that we can pass down values to. We can show it to our friends, our communities, to our coworkers. We can share values with anybody. Doesn't God just isolate it to our families? You know, when you show up at a school, we had people, churches that would around the nation that would show up and they would go around the school and they'd hold hands and they'd pray about situations in the church. And things would happen. The school would change a policy or something would happen. And you know what the people of the community would see? I wonder if those people petitioning their God had anything to do with this. Or people meeting around the flagpole. Profound impact has been made when people banded together and they did things and they displayed their faith. You know, when you have someone in the community, when you have a neighbor or somebody that's part of this church or even not part of this church, they're out there and they're suffering and they got some ailments and things going on, and the church extends their love to them and they start showing up. And they start seeing these cars parked day in and day in and after them bringing food and walking baskets into the house. And people say, what is going on over there? Who do you know? You work for a great place. No, I don't work for a great place. These people are Christians. But why are they doing this? I guess because Jesus loves me. I guess because he died for me. I see value in that. We can display our values to a lot of other people other than just our close circle of our family. And when we do that, people see it. And they wonder why it's there. They say, I wouldn't mind if I had a little bit of that. I wouldn't mind if I was a little bit like that. Where can I go to get the joy that you got? Who do I see to have the peace that you have? I'm always concerned about getting. Why are you so able to give right now? I don't see that you have a lot. You don't have a lot of time, brother. You don't have a lot of money, sister, but you seem to be giving a lot. How is that? We give what we have. We give what God gives us, and we give our abundance to others, right? The values that we start here now, what we do now, they can be shared on and on. They can transcend time. If you're worried about being forgotten, don't worry about being forgotten. If you're worried about being forgotten, you're living for this life. If you're living eternally, what you want to pass on is Jesus Christ. You don't want a nation that knew not God. The general trend here is the first generation experiences. The second generation hears about the experiences. The third generation never knows anything about it. Maybe you're part of that third generation. Maybe you're here today and this is news to you. Maybe your father and your grandfather dropped the ball. Maybe they didn't tell you all the things that God had done for their life. Maybe your family and everything that they've done has been built upon God, but they did not do a good job handing that baton off. Maybe you're in here today and this is the first time you're hearing it, that God is the reason for your existence. He's the reason why you're here. I want you to, you don't have time, I'll read this to you. Those here today that are in here in this congregation that are saved and secure in the Lord, I want you to listen to this. This is to you. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light." You have been called to show forth the praises. To hide them. Not to put them in your pockets. Not to whisper them quietly. But to show them forth, to display them in glorious grandeur. So everyone walking and seeing says, "There is light emitting from that man." Where does that light come from? Let me tell you, it comes from my Father. You get to say the words of Jesus. It's my Father. My Father. What a glorious opportunity we have if we would only seize it. If you'd only know it sitting here today, that you've been charged with the commission to tell people about God. Do you realize this? You are heralds for the King of Kings. You're able to usher in the Jesus Christ. He's coming one day. He's coming back for you. He's coming back for everyone who believes. And you get to be heralds for that King. You get to say, "I know a man who will take away all your sorrows, and He will fix your broken heart, and He will heal you of your sin, and He will restore you. You will be forgiven, and you will have everlasting life." I've got three things I want to share with you real quick. Three things that we got to do if we want to pass on the baton of our faith. We want to share the values with other people, is that we can't be all about what God did do, but what He is doing. So many people can point back and say, "You know what? I was saved. I got saved. I did that, preacher," and that's all they can tell you. Well, what is God doing now? I'm not sure He's doing anything, but I remember a time when He saved me. Let Lamentations says His mercies are new and fresh every day. Every day be looking for a place where God is working in your life. If you can, all you can talk about is what God did do, and when He did do it, then you are not passing on the baton of faith. You are not sharing your faith with other people. God is working in your life today. If you would just look and you would just listen, the Holy Spirit is moving. He's doing things in your life. He's guiding. He's walking with you. Talking with you. You do a good job in your family of pointing out when a prayer is answered. Do you let your kids know? Do you ever let them catch you praying about something? Dad, Mom, what were you praying about? Let me tell you what I was praying about. We're short this month. We're going to come up short. Things aren't working out at work. I'm not trying to worry you, son. I believe God's got it, but I'm just telling you right now, things aren't working out at the job like I thought they were going to. Don't worry, though. God's got it. And then at the dinner table a week or two later, you say, son, look at what God, how God answered our prayer. Look what He's done. You let them know about the people you're praying for, they'll meet salvation. And what can happen is those kids who know those people, and they see how hard their heart is and how resistant they are to the gospel. And then one day they come home and say, praise the Lord, this person accepted Jesus Christ. And the kid gets to watch that person and see that person grow. See the fruits of that salvation that comes from sharing. From pointing out to people what we see. That God answers our prayers. Second thing I put is to be sure to tell your children what God has done in your life. And when you do that, though, you have to encourage them to have their own personal experiences. You have to have your own personal experiences. We have families where they're too content with letting grandma and grandpa be in the prayer warriors for the family. Grandsons and granddaughters need to seek the altar. They need to seek the altars of their hearts. They need to go in the prayer closets at home and they need to pray for people. It's not just on granddad and grandma. It's not just on the mom and pops. Children have to have their own experiences. We have to encourage them that my faith, my trust in God isn't sufficient for you. You yourself have to trust. You yourself have to experience God. The third thing I have is we have to break the chain of disobedience in our household. You know, You hear about it, you've seen it. There are cycles that families get into. Like poverty. Huh? My family is a very poor family. We're a logging industry. Granny worked at a Carhartt sewing factory. When she retired, she made $9 an hour. My papa, he didn't graduate from third grade. And so when they paid him $8 an hour, he thought he was getting a bargain. Fired him once. And whenever they fired him, they asked him to come back because one day the equipment tore up and they said, who knows how to fix this equipment? So we fired the only man that knew how. Sounds like he had a pretty good negotiation standpoint, but you know what? Because he didn't finish school, he felt like he couldn't negotiate and he went back to the same pay. Same pay. But you know, we see times in families where someone will break the cycle of certain things and they'll go to college. Or they'll get a really, really good job. And then you'll see that the tree of that family just kind of change and more forever because there's certain values that get planted in those families' lives of hard work and seeking certain kinds of jobs and doing certain kinds of things. Those values kind of transcend time. And you see this whole size of families. Everyone still has a choice, though. See, at any time, any of those kids can walk away and not be like their father and say, I'm going to do this way. I'm going to do this way. But if you want to pass on the value of faith in Jesus Christ, you have to start somewhere. You have to break the cycle of disobedience. Your families have been going. You know, I had that same thing in my family. Generation after generation, no one goes to church. No one knows of God. No one's telling anybody about God. So it's not something that's... So what things become God in my family? Work ethic. Having a good job. College education. All these other things take the place of God because God's not in His rightful place. So if you want to make a profound impact, you can start today. Maybe you're sitting there holding a little one in your lap or one sitting next to you and you love them so, so much. Today can be the day that you break that cycle of disobedience and you come to God. You can come to God right now. You can confess your sins and you can be saved and you can be forgiven and you can tell your children of the awesome forgiveness that you received this day. I ask you, Dave, if you'd stand. Every head bow, every eye closed. When you preach a message, you never know who you're preaching to. You never know who God's trying to speak to, with whose hearts. And I ask you today, I'm not trying to call you out and I don't want to embarrass you, but if there's someone in here today, preacher, I'm that guy. I haven't acknowledged God. My family hasn't acknowledged God. I don't know of this salvation, but I want to know. Could you just raise your hand? I just want to pray for you before I give an invitation. I just want to pray for you quietly to myself. Amen. If you're in here today, maybe you've been dropping the ball. Maybe you haven't been telling your family about what God's done for you. And He's been working glorious things in your life. And you just realize today, I need to point that out more. I want to pray for you too. I just want to know who you guys are, and I want to pray for you. I see hands. I see hands. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, today I realized that standing here before this congregation, Father, there is no way that I can pass on my faith in Jesus Christ. But what I can do, Father, is I can pass on the value of my faith. Father, I don't want to be remembered. Father, I want You to be remembered. I want You and Your sacrifice that You gave of Your Son to die for the sins of many, for all. Father, I pray that that is what is remembered above all things. Father, I pray that if there's anyone in the service that does not know Your forgiveness, that does not know the salvation of the Lord, Father, I pray that You convict them during the service and they come to know You today. Father, have Your will and way in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.